Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 379 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on the show this week, we'll have music from Nine Below Zero as they bring us some sample tracks off their brand new album, 13 Degrees of Blue. We'll be also finding out about what's going on this weekend in Brood as they've got their latest craft fair taking place. Aida is on at the Dormston Mill Theatre in Sedgley, West Bromwich Operatic Society telling us all about that, and we'll hear a song from the show. And also Martin Stinchcombe, he is the current MasterChef the Professionals champion, and we'll be having a natter with him, having caught up with him over at the Malvern Autumn Show last weekend. As well as all of that, we'll be finding out about an event taking place at the Robin 2 this Thursday, which is a bit of a tribute night to Carole King and James Taylor. And as well as all of that, 9 to 5, the musical. I went along to meet up with the cast of South Staff's Musical Theatre Company's latest production.
9 to 5, the musical, is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from Tuesday the 11th to Saturday the 15th of October. Two of the leading ladies are Abby Ray and Lexi Bennett. Hello.
Hello.
Right, Lexi, let's start with you. Tell us about your role.
Oh, what can I say? It's Dolly. It's Dolly Parton.
And I see you as a Dolly.
Yeah, well, it's a bit weird because I don't look like Dolly.
And with a wig, with a big wig, you'll be fine.
With the wig, it's all good. With the wig and the boobs, I can shake it just like Dolly.
You mean it's not going to be all your own?
No, it's really not going to be. I'm going to be having a wig because my hair is like nearly black. So the contrast there. So yes, it's going to be a really nice big Dolly, classic Dolly wig. Very excited.
Looking forward to it.
Very, very, very much so. I can't wait to be in my costume, my makeup, my hair. So excited. And the boobs, obviously.
Naturally. And Abby, your role, please.
I'm playing Judy. So she's the new girl to the office. She's just come out of a marriage, so she's very unconfident. And throughout the show, she like builds in character. And at the end, she has a big, massive song called Get Out, Stay Out, where she's basically just shouting at her ex-husband called Dick. Yeah. And then she just becomes this so confident character, so it's really good.
But a feel-good musical throughout, and you girls get to put things right, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we do. It is a very girl power show. We end up stringing up, basically, our sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot of a boss.
You've been learning these lines very
well,
haven't you?
Yeah, I've been learning the lines. So, it is a girl power kind of show, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's very feel good.
And the big songs, and I've already mentioned you get a massive song towards the end of the show. And do you feel you're building towards that? Because it's going to be a really emotional roller coaster in some ways, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think for all the numbers in it are big, massive numbers. Oh, yeah. The chorus on all the time, lots of dancing, lots of singing. So I think all the songs in there are quite big feel-good numbers.
Oh, yeah. Now,
and as it is, obviously, you've got a very defined role. You know what you're playing. But it's going to be even more of a challenge playing Dolly, isn't it? Because everybody knows Dolly.
I literally, before the audition, I listened to nothing but Dolly. Even when I was at work in the background, I'd have her autobiography on because she reads her own autobiography. And it's like 4 hours long. And I'd sit there just listening to it, try and get the accent. I would watch her interviews to try and get the way she moves and her movement. And, yeah, I've had to do so much research to make sure that I really, you know, pull off being Dolly.
And it's one you want to do proud. And it is such a good show. It's a few years since it's toured professionally, but yeah. I did see it when it was in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
And I went along because I got tickets, not realising what a great night I was going to have.
Well, people don't realise.
If you've got any doubts, just go.
Exactly, because, I mean, if you think it's Dolly Parton and she's written, like, these amazing songs, honestly, the songs in it are so feel-good and the characters that they've been produced are hilarious, they're amazing, especially the way they've been adapted for the stage version as well. Like, it's just brilliant.
Just the whole show, it's just such a funny show. Like, I just guarantee that the audience will just be laughing along with us.
I'm fairly certain that there isn't going to be a dry eye in the house for both the laughter and the tears from the emotional ride that is the whole film. And I know you guys can absolutely do yourselves and the company proud. So we're looking forward to seeing it. But thank you for having a chat.
Thank you very much.
You go back to rehearsals. We'll see you at the Grand Theatre in October. Let's take some music now from Nine Below Zero. In a moment, having a chat with Dennis Greaves. But first of all, here's Paper in My Shoe.
I got the paper in my shoe. I got the paper in my shoe. What your mama don't know. What your papa don't mind.
what your papa don't know, and what your papa don't mind. I got the paper in my shoe.
Below Zero and Paper in My Shoe. That's out at the end of the week. To tell us more about the song and their forthcoming trip to the Robin 2 in Bilston, Dennis Greaves, hello.
Hello, Jason, how are you?
I'm good, how are you doing?
Yeah, fine, thanks, mate.
Good stuff. So, give us the potted history on the band. Come on, Nine Below Zero.
Nine Below Zero is a blues band. We started out in 1977 from the Thomas of Becket in the Old Kent Road. We came through when punk was at its height. We started and decided to play blues, but there was Dr. Feelgood around at the time and some other bands, Red Beans and Rice, some great little bands around London. And then we realised we weren't on our own, and it was tremendous.
And because it's been so long, but you've got everybody from the original lineup together for this album.
Yes, I have.
And, I mean, we're looking at a few years. What is it? It's one off 40 years, isn't
it? It is. Blimey.
Yeah,
yes,
so
it is, yeah.
This is the 39th anniversary is an interesting one to celebrate, but if anybody's going to do it, it's you.
Absolutely. I think we've made a really good record. We made a record for music fans. It really is for music lovers, as Sly sang. Hey, music lovers. It's a real classic album of blues tracks that really sort of disappeared under the radar. There's some little Milton tracks. Slim Harpo, we know about. B.B. King, we went into B.B. King's library and we chose some stuff when he was being heavily produced by Bill Selznick.
Mm-hmm.
And Carole King's on piano, for example, and some great players. And we went into that period where B.B. King made three albums in 71, 2 and 3. And they're just amazing albums. And
if ever there's an archive to plunder, it's that one, isn't it?
Oh, he's done so much, and he continued playing, and he was an inspiration. We've got little Walter tracks, we've got a Zydeco track, a Cajun track. So what we mean by 13 Shades of Blue is all the shades of blues that comes from that, you know, rock blues, funk blues, soul blues, Cajun. It's so deep-rooted.
A full back catalogue of some amazing tunes and you doing your damnedest to make them sound fantastic.
Yeah, we like, for example, Don't Play That Funky Trip. We had to make them our own, and we had Johnny Chandler. Johnny Chandler works with Universal in the back catalogue, and Johnny was a manager in the business. the Blow Monkeys and other Paul Weller and other site people. And Johnny's a former DJ, and his knowledge, we tapped into that. And Glenn Tilbrook from Squeeze is where we recorded it, at his studio. And we was able to tap into these people with vast knowledges of music and love of music. You know, it's very much a live sounding album by us just playing in the studio, having a few beers, cranking it up and really enjoying it.
And you are, you know, working hard, you're touring with this album everywhere, and most importantly, you're coming to the Robin 2 in Bilston on the 10th of March next year.
Yes, it's a bit of a way away, but we haven't been to the Robin for a long time, and we always love Mike and what he's doing with that venue and all the staff there. We have a wonderful rapport going back 15 years, I think, with them, even before when they were in Dudley. The other Robin, Robin, the original Robin, that's now what, a supermarket?
It's flat, unfortunately, I know that much.
Yeah, it's a car park, supermarket, or a mall. And we got back a long time, and he's done so much to promote live music in the area. We love him, and we love the club.
And well worth playing that sort of venue, because I'm sure it's going to come to life with this music, and there's going to be a good call for it.
Yeah.
So the robin.co.uk, if you want to get yourself tickets for that one, just find the details. 10th of March 2017.
And
make sure you're there.
It's the 8-piece band as well. So
brilliant. You're going to fill that stage.
Yeah, we're going to fill up the stage finally. We've got Charlie on vocals, female singer. We've got a Hammond organ player, and we've got a trumpet and saxophone player. But they'll probably be arrested in town before we even get there, you know, they're nuts.
If you're not far from the police station, you want to be careful.
Yeah. If you've ever worked with a brass section, you'll know what I'm talking about. They're lovely rogues. They're wonderful.
Oh, dear. Right, well, we're going to take a little listen to some more music from you now, but first of all, give us the web address so people can get details on the band.
9below0.com has got all the dates on there. We've got a Twitter, we've got Facebook and Instagram. We're pretty much up on the modern stuff, and because social media is where we can keep in touch with our punters.
Well, a bit of vintage blues, top quality recordings, modern day fun on the world of the internet.
Oh, lovely. Well put.
Okay, right, let's take a listen to Don't Lay Your Funky Trip on Me. So this will be your take on a classic tune. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you very much indeed.
I know you.
at the Malvern Autumn Show, and Mark Stinchcombe is down here, now current title holder, the 2015 winner of MasterChef, and of course gardening is vitally important when it comes to the kitchen.
Yeah, it's massively, like all the veg comes through the garden, and we've got a great garden at Eckington Manor, so we kind of get this incredible sense of feeling when you go up and you pull the vegetables yourself, or you speak to the gardeners and say, oh, what's coming through the ground. So it's brilliant to kind of keep the gardening involved with the cooking because it works so seamlessly.
And is there often anything you say, I need you to put this and plant this border out with these because I want to cook with that?
Yeah, we've come up with eucalyptus, different times, different types of herbs and everything like that. It's becoming trendy now to kind of use different kind of herbs and things like that. So we kind of ask the gardeners to do those.
And when it came to entering MasterChef, obviously that seal of approval on the Eckington restaurant, that is good. But you must have known you're going to do well in something because of the reactions of the customers when you're actually cooking for them.
Yeah, MasterChef was there, and I did it to kind of showcase what me and Sue were doing at Eckington Manor and just kind of draw people in. I thought I'd do well, but I didn't think I'd win. I thought I'd get to a certain point, but I never thought I'd win it.
And when it comes to doing a cooking demonstration, something like the Malvern Autumn Show, that's somewhat different to either doing the TV work or doing the work in the restaurant. It's very much a one-to-one with the audience sat in front of you, and it must be great working in the cookery theatre down here for something like that.
Oh, it's massively different. I enjoy being behind a stove and a pass and kind of plating my food in my environment. So when you go out to the shows and kind of, especially this one, where the customer is so close to you, it's really engaging, and kind of you feel a real sense of them and what they want and what they're enjoying.
And when it comes to having a signature dish, obviously when you've done so many for TV and had to be so creative, is there still something though that is very much, you know, your thing that you like to be the one that does?
Eckington has got an incredible herd of Highland and Hereford beef cattle, so we kind of use the beef as our main kind of signature. We use all the ribeyes, the fillets, the sirloins, and then we braise the shin, use the cheeks, and we also do something called a charcoal emulsion, so we kind of make a barbecue flavour, like mayonnaise, to go with the beef.
And again, something slightly different, but that's the joy of having complete control when it comes down to what's served.
Yeah, and kind of us being able to put our food at the forefront of the kind of what Eckington is driving is really kind of inspiring to us to kind of create the dishes that are personally and kind of businessly attached to the restaurant and kind of really pushing forward.
So a big thing is keeping it local and making sure that food is served the best it can be.
Yeah, we're massive on the local and flavoursome food, and we're in the Vale of Evesham, so we have an incredible growing society around us that we can kind of pick and choose what we want at any time of the year. So it's an amazing kind of place that we're in, and an amazing time of year.
So what comes next? You've done MasterChef. Is there anything else on the horizon that you quite fancy doing?
I think taking it easy for a year was was my next. After that, me and Sue had only just got married after MasterChef had won, so kind of this year has just been about enjoying ourselves and kind of it's pushing the restaurant forward and hoping to achieve accolades and things like that and just trying to gain a sense of environment and kind of pushing Eckington forward.
So if people do want to find out more about Eckington itself, have you got a website?
Yeah, it's eckingtonmanor.co.uk. We've also got a Twitter and Facebook page which we're kind of actively on.
Yeah, and if people just search for you, I mean, you are a tweeting chef now, aren't you?
Yeah, that's a massive part of the industry now and kind of you need to really get on it. It's taken me a long time to kind of learn how to do it. I hated it. And it was actually one of the finalists who actually set me up on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And now I've overtaken him. So
that's the way to do it.
That's the way.
A bit of chaotic competition.
Yeah, the chefs are competition mad. So any kind of competition of who can get the most followers on Twitter is a great one.
And just finally, any new dishes you're working on that you can talk about at the moment? Or is it all, you know, strange things in the pipeline that are going to remain secret?
No, we love kind of changing things through seasonally. We've just gone through all the plums, through a plum souffle, but we're also now working on a lovely orange clementine, a marmalade dish with a bitter chocolate sorbet.
Well, Mark, good luck for the future and thanks for having
Thank
a chat
you very
with
much.
Us.
Thank you.
Let's take some more music from Nine Below Zero now. This is The Toddle on The Milk Bar.
West Bromwich Operatic Society bring Aida to the stage at the Dormstone Mill Theatre from Wednesday the 5th through to Saturday the 8th of October. To tell us more about it, Sophie Louise Johnson and Andy Foggin. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So first of all, Sophie, tell us about your role in this.
I'm just ensemble.
Yeah.
My usual, but I'm just here as the West Brom operatic spokesperson.
But you do enjoy being a bit of ensemble, don't you?
I will do. It's the best bit. You get the most fun. You get most fun backstage. You don't have too much pressure, but you still get to be part of a great production.
And sing all the best songs.
Absolutely.
And what's it mean costume-wise for you as well?
A mix of like kind of slave costumes, then we go into like glamorous handmaidens. So 1 minute I'm a bit rough and ready, and the next minute I'm a bit more glamorous. So good fun.
And we'll let everybody work out which one of those is really you. I'm not saying a word.
Not sure.
We'll see. And Andy, tell us about your role.
I play Zoza, who is the father of the leading role, Radames. He's a pretty nasty piece of work. He's secretly killing the Pharaoh by poisoning him, because he wants his son to marry the Pharaoh's daughter and therefore become Pharaoh. So he's got these hatched this plan to kill the whole Pharaoh off and then take control of Egypt.
Now, this is an Elton John and Tim Rice production as far as the music and words go, which means it's going to be blooming good.
Oh, it's fantastic. The music is absolutely amazing. Very rarely done in the UK, based on the Verdi opera, but rewritten by Elton John. A lot of his music you can hear his style coming through in the songs. Unfortunately, it never came across the Atlantic. It went on in Broadway, I think, for about 3 years, but never made it to the UK, never made it to the West End, because some of the Disney, I think it was The Lion King, but I'm not sure, took its place.
Mm-hmm. So West Bromwich Operatic doing their bit and bringing this to life on the stage, and having seen some of the rehearsals out there, everybody's having a brilliant time.
Yeah, it's a great show. We've got people are slaves, they're soldiers, there's a bit of bloodthirsty killing at the end, there's a love story of unrequited love that can't happen because Radames falls in love with Aida, who is a slave, but little does he know that she's actually a princess from Nubia, which is now, we believe, Sudan and Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Egypt conquered them, he brought her back as a slave, fell in love with her, but he's obviously meant to marry Amneris, and eventually he dies with his love being buried alive in a tomb.
And you can see that all brought to life on stage at the Dormstone Mill Theatre. That's Sun Milbank Sedgley Dudley, DY31SN, Wednesday the 5th through to Saturday the 8th of October. Tickets from wbos.co.uk, or you can actually call the box office on 01384 377402, 377402, stick the 01384 code at the front of it, and you could be going along to see what should be a fantastic production. Good luck, guys. Break a leg.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Take me in, my dreams recurring, cheerful as a childhood dance, into one more taste of freedom, one more
God's love, Nubia,
across the harvest plain, the tears of Nubia are passing aberration, they wash into the river and another.
This Saturday, not only can you find the best in craft at the Jubilee Hall in Brood, you can also find oatcakes and bacon sandwiches. What more could you ask for on a Saturday morning? To tell us more about it, Vanessa Morton, hello.
Hello, Jason.
How are we doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. And Brood Get Crafty takes place all over again on Saturday, and it's going to be another fantastic event, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed, yeah. Got some new crafters coming along, and we've got some new food as well. We've got mint leaves. That's an artisan chocolate maker from Eccleshaw coming along. And I've got Valerie Boot, who's doing some teacup and glass container candles. I've got Matt returning with from the Weird and Wonderful Cheese Company as well.
He does like his cheese, that man.
He does, yes, yes. So I've got quite a lot of food, actually. Probably about one third of the stores of food this time. I think everybody's getting ready for Christmas.
I was about to say, that is putting you in the right frame of mind for Christmas, because certainly the cheeses as well, they would make a brilliant Christmas gift alongside all sorts of other stuff. And of course, cheese kind of keeps, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, that's right. And I think he's doing some Christmas hampers as well, obviously in readiness for presents.
So if you're looking to start the Christmas shopping early with some fantastic craft-related gifts or something they can have a nibble on when they get it out of their sock on Christmas morning, then it is worth getting down to get crafty in the Brood Jubilee Hall. So what else can we expect as far as some of the more intriguing local crafts go?
Right, I've got cool clocks, the acrylic clocks. Lawrence is selling those. Those are fantastic. Make some really good Christmas presents. Range of prices as well. So they start around about £10 up to about £30. So it suits everybody's pocket there. I've got a lady selling frames and some Xmas decorations as well. Got silver jewellery. Beautiful handmade silver jewellery. I've also got Knit, Stitch and Sparkle doing knitted, stitched and crochet accessories like bags, brooches, cup warmers, etc. So those would make really good stocking fillers. I've got lighting and lampshades again. And Lovely Crafts is coming with her cards and felted items. And also the Village Bakery are going to be there.
Oh, brilliant. So lots of stuff to both get your teeth into and get wrapped up for Christmas gift.
Yes, definitely. There are other crafters as well, too numerous to mention.
So what time does it all start?
Right, it starts off at 10 o'clock and finishes at 2 p.m. The parking, free parking, is available at the Brood Middle School, just at the top of Dean Street, and there are some signs at the top there just to direct you to it. And that car park will close at 3 o'clock.
So you nip down there, enjoy the craft, maybe have a quick run around the village, as long as you're back by 3 o'clock, get your car out, and then take it all home, get it wrapped or eaten, depending on which one you need to do with it.
Yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds brilliant to me, and well worth getting along. I found out last, was it about a month ago I was there now?
Yeah, it was about 5 weeks ago.
It seems like 5 minutes, but it was a really, really nice time. In fact, there were cakes there that time, and I enjoyed eating those, so the different range of food as well this time is no doubt going to bring the people of Brood and surrounding areas into the Jubilee Hall on Saturday for the craft fair, and what basically sounds like a bit of a food party.
Yes, it is.
Vanessa Borden, always good to speak to you. Thanks again.
Thanks very much, Jason. Bye.
Ta-ra for now. Time for a final tune from Nine Below Zero. This is Don't Play That Song For Me. You Lied. I love brackets on the end of a song title. They always confuse me.
Don't play that song for me, 'cause it brings back memories of days that I once knew, all those days that I spent with you.
Oh no, don't you let it play. Fills my heart with pain.
Please stop right away, 'cause I remember just what he said. He said, hey, darling,
darling,
I know that he lied,
darling.
Yes, he did. I'll tell you, he lied,
darling.
Yes, he did. You know he lied.
Nine Below Zero, Don't Play That Song For Me. This Thursday, the 29th of September, sees a fantastic evening of music with Carole King and James Taylor tributes taking place over at the Robin 2 in Bilston. To tell us more about it, Brian Dales, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
So you've got yourself on stage as James Taylor with a colleague as Carole King. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, we're a six-piece band, and basically, we're musicians that came together because we liked the music. I don't really take the part of James Taylor, and neither does Emma take the part of Carole King. We just play the songs because we just feel like nobody can be them. So we're just ourselves, but playing their music, and I dare say, so we play it very, very well. I mean, I studied James's guitar player for 20 years, and I've spoken to him about it. I met him a couple of years ago at Leeds. John and I, the keyboard player in the band, we went down to Devon, and this woman saw us playing. She came up to us and said, "I've got a story to tell you." She said, "You play the music beautifully. James Taylor's a personal friend of mine. Have you ever met him?" And I went, "That's a bit strange." She said, "Yeah, in 1967, I lived at Notting Hill Gate and worked for the BBC." So we became very good friends, and we still are.
Oh, that's cool.
And 4 months later, yeah, she managed to be able to get me to meet James after the gig in Leeds, and a half an hour chat with him about music and his life, basically. It was great. It was just strange.
And it was great getting that insight as well, because he said it is a tribute, but without the stick on hair and makeup and stuff. So it is the music that you're paying tribute with.
Yeah, that's it. It's the music. Well, like I said, we're first and foremost musicians, and it's because it's great music to play.
But as you talk about Emma, your Carole King, Emma Pride, 9 years old when she was taught how to play You Got a Friend. And so she's just sort of gone on and on and on. And 25 years later, she's still doing her stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Emma and I met about 5 years ago. Again, through the keyboard player that I was working with, John, at the time. And she just sat down and played. And if you've heard, you know, when somebody plays like somebody, if you hear Carole King play and then you hear Emma, you can't tell the difference. It just sounds like Carole King sat there playing the piano for you.
And how do you split out the show as well? Because it's called Up on the Roof. And do you tend to do a set each, or do you alternate and work together?
We alternate. Yeah, we alternate. We try to sort of keep it sort of flowing and alternating. So it's great stuff. Like I say, it's great stuff to play. It's just... it's my favourite stuff to play.
Well, okay, we're talking of favourites then. What's your favourite song that you perform and that Emma performs on the night?
I think Emma does a great version of It's Too Late, Carole King. Mm-hmm. And I think she also sings So Far Away. She does these great So Far Away. And there's another one that It's Going to Take Some Time, which the Carpenters had a hit with. Mm-hmm. She sings that great. My favourite for the band is things, there's a song called Copper Line that we do. We do Mexico, which is a good tune for us to play on. Probably the ones towards the back end of the set. We do Carolina in My Mind, of course, and all full-on productions of each song.
So it is a very live production. You've got a full band there. You're all musicians. It is not somebody hanging on just trying to look like someone. It is really about bringing that music to life and making that difference.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, the guys, we all play in different things. John's just been away with, what's it called, London Electricity, with a singer called Leanne Carroll. Mm-hmm. He's been down in London doing that this weekend. But we come together and do our thing when we can, and Thursday night is one of those nights.
There you go, 7:30 at the Robin 2. Tickets £16 in advance or on the door £18. The box office can be reached on 01902 401211. That's 40 12 11, or you can go to therobin.co.uk to find out more information. If you want a sneak peek of what you're going to get before you turn up, upontherooftour.co.uk or Up on the Roof Tour on Twitter, and Up on the Roof Tour on Facebook. Full set there. Well done. You got the complete house. So, Brian, thanks for having a chat with us. Good to talk to you. Have a great time on the night. And I know you're actually going to rock the Robin, and it's going to be a brilliant evening of fantastic music.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
That's your lot. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll catch you back here in the Milk Barn next week for episode 380. See you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar, yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar, yeah.